今天介绍毛姆的一篇文章。
Today, I'm going to introduce an article by Mao.
哲学家。
Philosopher.
在遥远的中国。
In the distant China.
这座城市里住着一个著名的哲学家。
There lives a famous philosopher in this city.
辜鸿铭。前去拜访他是我这次旅程的心愿之一。
I really wanted to visit Mr. Gu Hongming during my trip.
他是现代中国儒家学说最为权威的学者。
He is the most authoritative scholar of modern Chinese Confucianism.
他能流利地讲英语和德语。
He can fluently speak English and German.
他多年担任慈禧太后的一个大总督的幕僚。
He was a long-time aide to a powerful general of Empress Dowager Cixi.
但如今过着退隐的生活。
But now I live a secluded life.
只在某个星期的几天里。
Only on a few days of a week.
他会敞开大门进行。
He will open the door wide.
诸如切磋学问。
Such as learning from each other.
讲授儒学的活动。
Lecture on Confucianism.
他有一批门徒。
He has a group of disciples.
但人数不多。
But there are only a few people.
因为比起他那朴素的寓所和严厉的训诫。
Compared to his simple dwelling and strict discipline.
大部分学生更喜欢外国大学华丽的建筑和洋人有用的科学。
Most students prefer the beautiful architecture and useful signs of foreign universities.
我坐了轿子去，穿过一个破败的院子。
I rode a car through a dilapidated courtyard.
被引进一间狭长低矮的屋子。
A narrow, low-ceilinged house was introduced.
这儿几乎没有家具。
There is almost no furniture here.
只有一张美国式书桌，两把红木椅和两张中国式小桌子。靠墙摆着书架。
There is a typical American-style desk.Two red wooden chairs and two Chinese-style small tables leaning against the wall with bookshelves.
上面有很多的书。
There are many books on top.
绝大多数当然是中文书。
Most of them are Chinese books.
但也有许多英文。
But there are also many English.
法文和德文的哲学和科学书籍。
French and German philosophical and scientific books.
还有几百册未装订的学术期刊。
There are still hundreds of uncompiled academic journals.
墙上挂着不同风格的书法条幅。
There are calligraphy scrolls of different styles hanging on the wall.
我猜想写的是孔子语录。
I guess it's a collection of Confucius sayings.
这是一间阴冷、空荡、也不舒服的屋子。
This is a cold, empty, and uncomfortable room.
只是书桌上一只高花瓶中的黄色菊花。
Just a yellow chrysanthemum in a tall vase on the desk.
才使这阴沉的屋子有了些生气。
To bring some life to the gloomy room.
我很荣幸你想来看我。
I'm honored that you want to come and see me.
他回答我的问候说
He replied to my greeting.
贵国人只是跟苦力和买办打交道。
The people of your country only deal with slaves and laborers.
他们以为每个中国人必然的不是苦力。
They thought that every Chinese person was destined to be a laborer.
就是买办。我冒昧地表示异议。
I expressed my objection to the errand boy.
但我没有抓住他说话的要点。
But I didn't catch the key point of his speech.
他将背靠在椅子上，带着一种嘲讽的表情。
He leaned against the chair with a sarcastic expression.
看我，他们以为我们可以招之即来。
Look, they think we can be recruited.
我喃喃地表达了对他的敬意。
I expressed my respect to him.
他是个上了年纪的人。
He is an elderly man.
高个子，扎着一条细长的灰辫子。
Tall with a long, slender gray braid.
有着明亮的大眼睛和厚重的眼袋。
With bright, large eyes and heavy bags under them.
牙齿已经缺损发黄。
Teeth have already been eroded and discolored.
他很清瘦。
He was thin.
长得好看的双手。
Beautiful hands.
小小的。
Small.
干瘪的。
Dried.
有些像爪子。
Some are like claws.
我听说他抽鸦片。
I heard he was smoking opium.
他衣着简朴，穿一件黑色长袍。
He wore simple clothes, wearing a black robe.
戴一顶黑色帽子。
Wear a black hat.
衣帽都有些旧了。
The clothes and hats were all a bit old.
深灰色长裤在脚踝处扎起来。
The dark gray pants were rolled up at the ankles.
他看着我。
He looked at me.
他还不知道该以怎样的态度接待我。
He didn't know how to greet me.
你知道，我在柏林得到了哲学博士学位。
I know that I got my PhD in philosophy in Berlin.
他说。
He said.
后来我在牛津大学学习了一个时期。
Later, I studied at Oxford University for a period of time.
但英国人，如果你允许我这么说的话。
But if I may say so, as a Chinese person,
于哲学而言不是很有天分。
From a philosophical point of view, he is not very talented.
虽然他做出这一评论时带着歉意。
Although he made the comment with regret,
但很明显，他乐于说一件让人略感不悦的事情。
But it is obvious that he likes to say something that makes people feel a little uncomfortable.
他接着说。
He continued to say.
我在牛津的时候。
When I was in Oxford.
那儿的哲学教授都想着别去冒犯他们的神学同事。
The philosophy professors thought it was best not to offend their theological colleagues.
他们并不跟从他们的思想抵达他逻辑上的结论。
They don't arrive at his conclusions through their own reasoning.
免得危及他们在大学圈子里的地位。
To avoid jeopardizing their position in the university circle.
你研究过美国哲学的现代进展吗？
Have you studied the modern developments of American philosophy?
你是说实用主义？这是那些想要信不可信之物的人的最后庇护所。
You mean that pragmatism is the last refuge of those who want to be unreliable?
我对美国石油比对美国哲学更有兴趣。
I am more interested in comparing American oil with American philosophy.
他的议论非常尖刻。
His remarks were very sharp.
我们又坐下来喝茶。
We sat down to drink tea again.
他开始说得更流畅了。
He started to speak more fluently.
他说
He said,
一口规范而地道的英语。
One standard and authentic English.
时不时地用一句德语来表达意思。
Occasionally use a German sentence to express meaning.
他可能深受德国的影响。
He may be influenced by Germany.
德国人的条理性和勤奋。
German people's diligence and diligence.
给他留下了极为深刻的印象。
It left a very deep impression on him.
他们哲学上的敏锐对他来说是显而易见的。
His philosophical insight was obvious to everyone.
但是，他对西方哲学的研究
However, his research on Western philosophy
最终只是有助于他彻底弄明白智慧
Ultimately, it only helps him to fully understand wisdom.
说到底
Ultimately,
只能在儒家经典中被发现。
Only found in Confucian classics.
他毫无保留地接受了儒家学。
He wholeheartedly accepted Confucianism.
说，他圆满地回应了他精神上的需求。
He fully met his spiritual needs.
反过来，又是西学。
In reverse, It is Western learning.
根本上显得空洞。
Ultimately, it seems empty.
这证明了我的一个观点。
This proves my point.
哲学关乎个性。
Philosophy concerns individuality.
而不是逻辑。
Not logic.
哲学家的信念并非依据确实的证据。
Belief in philosophy is not based on actual evidence,
而是他自己的性情。
But it's his own personality.
他的思维活动仅仅用来证明他直觉到的真实是有道理的。
His mental activity was only used to prove that the reality he perceived was reasonable.
如果儒家学说牢牢地控制着中国人的思想，
If Confucianism had firmly controlled the minds of the Chinese people,
这是因为他解释和表达了中国人的思想。
This is because he explained and expressed the thoughts of Chinese people.
而没有其他的思想体系。
And there is no other ideology.
能够做到这一点。
To achieve this,
他点了一根烟。
He lit a cigarette.
起初他的声音有些微弱疲惫。
Initially, his voice was a little weak and tired.
但随着弹性越来越浓。
But as the elasticity becomes more and more intense,
他的声音也愈发有力。
His voice became more and more powerful.
他很兴奋地说着。
He excitedly said,
他身上几乎没有一个智者的沉静。
He lacked the serenity of a sage.
他是一个能言善辩者。
He is a good speaker.
也是一个斗士。
He is also a fighter.
他厌恶现代个人主义的需求。
He hates the demands of modern individualism.
在他看来，
In his view,
社会是个统一体。
Society is a unified body.
家庭则是社会的基础。
Family is the foundation of society.
他拥护古老。
He supports the old.
中国传统教育、君主制和僵硬的儒家经典。
China's traditional education with its monarchical system and rigid Confucian classics.
他越来越严厉地、愤愤不平地说起那些新晋回国的留学生，责备。
He became increasingly stern and complained about the newly returned overseas students.
他们亵渎神圣。
They blaspheme.
摧毁世界上最古老的文明。
Destroyed the world's oldest civilization.
你们凭什么相信你们要比我们高出一筹？
Why should we believe that you are better than us?
在艺术和学术上。
In art and academia.
你们就胜过我们？
You are better than us.
难道我们的思想家不如你们深刻？
Are our thinkers not as profound as yours?
难道我们的文明没有你们的文明那么复杂？
Are our civilization not as complex as yours?
那么深奥，那么精细吗？
Is it that profound and intricate?
在你们住在山洞里，身上披着兽皮的时候。
When you were living in caves and wearing animal skins,
我们已是一个开化的民族了。
We have already become a civilized nation.
你们知道我们在尝试人类历史上独一无二的实验吗？
Do you know that we are trying to conduct a unique experiment in human history?
我们寻求以智慧。
We seek with wisdom.
而不是强力来管理这个伟大的国家。
Instead of trying to control this great nation,
千百年来
for centuries,
我们成功地做到了。
We have successfully done it.
那为何白种人要瞧不起黄种人呢？
Why do white people look down on yellow people?
因为白种人发明了机枪。
Because white people invented the machine gun.
那就是你们的优势。
That's your advantage.
我们是一群没有防御能力的人。
We are a group of people with no defense capabilities.
你们可以不费力地置我们于死地。
You can easily put us to death.
你们粉碎了我们哲学家的梦想。 世界。
You have shattered the dream world of our philosophers.
本来能以法律和秩序的力量来治理。
Originally, we could govern with the power of law and order.
如今你们正在教育我们的年轻一代。
Nowadays, you are educating our young generation.
懂得你们的秘密。
I know your secrets.
你们将可怕的发明强加给我们。
You are imposing terrible inventions on us.
你们不知道我们学习机械的天才吗？
Don't you know that we are the mechanical geniuses?
你们不知道在这个国家有四万万世界上最务实、最勤劳的人吗？
Don't you know that there are 4 million of the most practical and hardworking people in the world in this country?
你们认为我们得用很长时间才能学会吗？
Do you think it will take us a long time to learn?
当黄种人能够造出跟白种人同样精良的枪炮，并射击的同样准确时
，When people of yellow skin can produce guns and ammunition as well as white people and shoot with the same accuracy，
那你们的优势何在呢
？What are your advantages？
你们诉诸枪炮
，You resort to guns，
你们也将会由枪炮来裁决。
You will also be judged by guns and cannons.
一个小女孩悄悄地走进来。
A little girl quietly came in.
依偎在这位老先生身边。
Huddled up next to this old man.
她瞪着好奇的眼睛望着我。
He stared at me with curious eyes.
她告诉我。
He told me.
这是她最小的孩子。
This is his youngest child.
他抱住孩子
He hugged the child,
低声跟他说些爱抚的话
whisper sweet nothings to him,
并温柔地吻他
and gently kiss him.
他是在皇帝退位辛亥革命取得成功的那天出生的
He was born on the day when the emperor abdicated and the Xinhai revolution succeeded.
我曾想
I once thought,
他宣告着新时代之春的来临。
He announced the coming of a new era of spring.
他说。
He said.
然而他只是这个伟大国家之秋的最后的花朵。
However, he was just the last flower of this great nation's autumn.
他从书桌的一只抽屉里取出些铜钱。
He took some coins from a drawer on his desk.
交给小女孩。
Give to the little girl.
就让他走了。
Let him go.
你看见我留了一条辫子。
I see you left a braid.
他把辫子拿在手里。
He held the braid in his hand.
说，这是个象征。
Saying this is a symbol.
我是古老中国的最后的代表。
I am the last representative of ancient China.
他现在更温文尔雅了。
He is more polite now.
他说起中国古代哲学家如何带着他们的弟子。
He asked how ancient Chinese philosophers took their disciples.
周游列国，传授一切值得学习的知识。
Travel around and teach everything worth learning.
各国王侯召请他们商议国事。
The kings and nobles summoned them to discuss state affairs.
让他们成为城市的治理者。
Let them become the rulers of the city.
他非常的博学，也极富口才。
He is very knowledgeable and also very eloquent.
他绘声绘色地给我讲述了他的国家历史上的一些事件。
He vividly described to me some events in his country's history.
我不禁想。他多少是一个悲哀的人物。
I can't help but think that he is a tragic figure.
他觉得自己有治理国家的才能。
He felt that he had the ability to govern the country.
但没有帝王来赋予他治理国家的重任。
But he didn't have the emperor to give him the responsibility of governing the country.
他满腹经纶。
He was full of confidence.
渴望传授给莘莘学子。
I want to impart knowledge to young students.
这是他精神上所追求的。
This is what he is pursuing spiritually.
但只有少数生活不幸、贫寒和资质愚钝的外乡人去听。
But only a few unfortunate, poor, and unqualified foreigners listened.
他讲学，我告辞时。
When he was teaching, I said goodbye.
他坚持想送我一个礼物。
He insisted on giving me a gift.
在这个衰败的时代。
In this era of decline.
神的记忆是很短暂的。
God's memory is fleeting.
我愿意送你更为坚实一点的东西。
I would like to give you something stronger.
我想送你一本我的书。
I want to give you a copy of my book.
但你又不会读中文。
But you can't read Chinese either.
我说，你就送我一幅你的字吧。
I said, why don't you write me a character?
他欣然应允了。他在书桌前坐下。
He readily agreed to sit down at the desk.
取出一张宣纸铺开来。
Take a piece of paper and spread it out.
我一边看他写字。
While I was watching him write.
一边饶有兴味地想起有关他的一些轶事。
I was thinking about some of his meetings.
说是这个老人每当积攒了一些钱。
When the old man had accumulated some money.
就会胡乱地用在花街柳巷。
He would randomly use it in the flower market and alleyways.
对他那有所名望的儿子的来说。
For his well-known son.
父亲如此放荡。
My father is so scandalous.
确实令人难堪。
It's really embarrassing.
但对研究人性的学者而言。
But for scholars who study human nature.
这又是可以平静看待的。哲学家倾向于在书房中阐述他们的理论。
Philosophers tend to articulate their theories in their study, which can be calmly viewed.
只是从他们间接了解的生活材料中得出结论。
Based on the indirect information they learned from their daily lives.
而在我看来
In my opinion,
如果他们也面临普通人所遭遇的人生浮沉
If they also face the ups and downs of life that ordinary people experience,
那他们的著作会有更确切的意义
Then their works will have a more precise meaning.
我是乐于宽厚地看待老夫子的这种雅号的。
I am happy to see that Lao Tzu has been given this nickname.
也许他寻求的不过是去阐明人之假象的。
Perhaps he is only seeking to clarify the illusion of human nature.
最不可理解的一面吧。
The most incomprehensible aspect, I guess.
他写好了。
He has finished it.
为了让墨迹干得快些。
To make the ink dry faster,
他撒了些粉末。
He sprinkled some powder
在纸上。
On paper,
随后把纸递给我。
Then he handed me the paper.
他说他冒昧地送我。
He said he had taken the liberty of coming to see me.
他自己的两首小诗。
His two short poems.
我察觉他的眼神里略微有一丝恶意。
I noticed a slight maliciousness in his eyes.
我接过纸，看着上面的汉字。
I picked up the paper and looked at the Chinese characters on it.
这些字在纸上构成了一种好看的图形。
These characters form a beautiful pattern on paper.
我想让他给我翻译一下。译者即叛徒。
I want him to translate translator and traitor for me.
他回答说
You replied that
你别指望我出卖自己。
Don't expect me to betray myself.
请你的英国朋友帮忙吧。
Please ask your British friend for help.
那些中国通其实一无所知。
Those who are experts in China actually know nothing.
但你至少可以找到一个人能够给你粗略而简单的翻译几行。
But you can at least find someone who can give you a rough and simple translation of a few lines.
我向他告辞。
I said goodbye to him.
他特别客气地送我到我的轿子。
He was particularly polite in driving me to my car. Before.
后来有个机会。
Later, there was an opportunity.
我把诗给我认识的一个汉学家看。老实说，我读诗的时候多少有点吃惊。
I told my Chinese scholar, who is familiar with poetry, that I was a little surprised when I read poetry.
这无疑是不合情理的。
This is undoubtedly unreasonable.
因为他给我写了两首描述爱情的诗。
Because he wrote two poems about love for me.
顾鸿明送给毛姆的两首诗。
Poems given by Du Hongerming to Mo.
我放评论区了。
I posted in the comment section.
有兴趣的朋友可以在评论区查看。
Friends who are interested can check the comments.